All right, Johnny, if you could go back in history and go on a date with Helen of Troy or Cleopatra, which would you choose?
Cleopatra, dude. Helena of Troy
Really?
destroyed everything.
But what? Okay. True, I guess. She's just trying to get away from her creepy husband, man.
Well, Cleopatra didn't need a creepy husband. She had a creepy fan club.
That's true. AKA you. Going back in time to hook up with her? I mean, go on a date with her? I didn't mean to say hook
Just a
up.
date. It's just a date.
Connect with her? Yeah, no. that's funny. So speaking of Cleopatra, Sony has announced that they're going to make a Cleopatra film that is their Gone with the Wind. If you don't know, Gone with the Wind was like the movie in the early or in the late 30s, like 1930s. Like it was the film, like the biggest set pieces that had ever happened. It was like the first in color film besides The Wizard of Oz. And so Sony apparently is saying it's on scale with that for our day and age. Like this Cleopatra film is going to be unreal. So you're gonna have your
No,
fantasy
frankly, my
realized.
Jay, I just don't give a damn.
Oh, we're allowed one swear word. There it
And
is.
guess what? Gone with the Wind had two swear words, and that was one of
Did
them.
I have two? I thought I just had the one.
I thought it was hell and damn.
Oh, I know for the first time, it was the first film to swear on, or the first movie to swear
Motion
on film.
picture.
Yeah, motion picture to swear. Yeah, anyway.
But that's why I wonder, like, what is Cleopatra gonna be?
Hopefully really good. Yeah, so they picked the director Denis Villeneuve. Yeah, so they haven't announced any other cast members that I can see. They've announced some writers and the director. So it's kind of a big deal. He's just finished up Dune, which we had our cast on last week about.
He's been doing a great job of remakes, man, or just next level.
It's true. Yeah,
Well,
he's
Cleopatra's been done. I mean, it was done in the 60s, right? 50s with drawing a blank on her, super famous. Diamonds are girl's best friend.
Audrey Hepburn.
There we go.
It almost bankrupted a studio, I'm pretty sure. I don't remember which,
Yeah.
but it was a big flop. Yikes.
Ooh.
Did you ever see it?
No. I've taken a many a film class in my day. That was luckily not one of them we had to watch.
Johnny's more of a Meryl Streep fan than an Audrey Hepburn fan.
Yeah, but don't watch her in Devil's Prada, because at the end you just find out she's actually the bad guy.
She is? Total twist ending. I didn't see that coming. No,
But
so
yeah, so your boy Dennis, right?
yeah, Denis. Yeah, so his name's
Oh,
French, but he's from Canada.
pour soi, mes amis,
Yeah,
pour soi.
merci. Oh, it's borderline. Those are some borderline things we just did.
Well, I said real French words. I don't know what you were doing.
I don't know either. Yeah, no, so Denis, I was introduced to Denis first through his film Sicario. And I kind of wanted to just go through all his films with you because I've been a big fan ever since then. So here are the big ones I like: Sicario, Prisoners, Dune, and Arrival. He has a bunch of other films that I haven't watched, and I haven't brought myself to watch Blade Runner 2049. So you're gonna have to help me out with that one, Johnny. Which one do you want to talk about first?
Yeah, 'cause so again, we're going back to what he like took a great cult classic movie, right? Dune was a cult classic, wasn't like a moneymaker. And the original Blade movie was a cult classic, and then he just made it better. The original Blade Runner was done by, why am I drawing a blank? Oh, we just talked about this. Ridley Scott, there you go. Who was a great director, right?
Yeah.
So it's not like it was bad direction for that one. But he took, the same concept of it's a little bit different. It's, anyway, it's not a remake,
Right.
not a proper remake. But so like, how Dune isn't like a word by word remake, it's just a retold. So that's pretty much what Blade Runner was, where he's just a cop trying to find replicants.
Well, and it's not a remake, but it also is like an extension of the story, right? Because Harrison Ford's in the original one, and he's an old man in this one. So it's not like a pure remake, like you said, but it is
No,
like a
it's
it's
like
like a
a chapter
refurbish,
two.
right?
Yeah, it's like
Like,
chapter two.
right, yeah. It's like, but it's not quite really
No,
a
it's like
perfect
chapter
continuation.
two of a different book.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, cool. I see what you're trying to say. Because it's
Same
not like
story, but
it's not a
different.
sequel, is what you're
Yeah,
saying.
it's not a sequel. There we go.
Yeah.
But yeah, so they learned from their mistakes where they didn't edit out a very key element in the first one. There was like this 30-second little tiny clip that they added on. later on the remastered director's cut, and that made the whole movie tie together.
Seriously?
They didn't need to do that in the new one. He then he realized that he didn't need to do that.
Okay.
Literally, there's a 30-second clip that they director's cut that made everyone go, oh, that makes sense.
So the only premise I know is from our homeboy, Robert W. Ross, and the basic premise is Blade Runners are bad robot hunters. That's all I really know.
Yeah, they're replicants. They're clones of people. They don't know the robots. They know the robots. Anyway, it's a really sci-fi, because we're sci-fi nerds.
It's a deep sci-fi, right?
Oh, yeah, man. It's levels and levels and levels.
Yeah, so it's kind of fun that Denis has done both sci-fi, and then he's also done really realistic films. So another sci-fi he did was Arrival. That's with Amy Adams and with Hawkeye. Crap, what's Hawkeye's real name?
Blade Runner.
No. Jonathan? I can't remember his name.
Jeremy
Renner, thank you. Yeah.
There we go.
Yeah, so Jeremy Renner and Amy Adams in Arrival. It's a really sci-fi film. I liked this one because it was trippy. It's very paradoxical, which I sometimes like in film. Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. And this one, it worked really well. Worked really well. Yeah, so basic premise, a bunch of aliens arrive, and as you learn their language, you can start to see in the future. And even though you know your future, the premise is like, do you still walk the path that you can see coming? You know what I mean? Or do you try and change it? It's kind of cool.
It's good. It's a lot of moral issues that are realistic. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Because sometimes like you can have a sci-fi movie, but you need to relate it back to human action.
And the film's really beautiful. That's one thing you learn to expect from Denis is, or Denis. It's like all his films are phenomenal in cinematography. He's one of the best. Man. Yeah, he's one of the best. He's one of the best directors for visuals. I would say him and Zack Snyder are my top two favorite, bar none.
Yeah, he keeps the right premise of making it dark, but not seem dark. If that makes any sense.
So if you want to talk dark, though, two films that I wanted to talk about, Sicario and Prisoners, are probably the darkest films I can handle and have enjoyed. They're really heavy, really dark. Have you seen either of them, Johnny?
I know a little bit of Emily Blunt, so I know a little bit about Sicario.
Oh, yeah. So Emily Blunt's the main character in Sicario. She's tagged along by Josh Brolin and by Benicio del Toro, and the main character from... I can't remember his name. I'll look it up in a second. But he's in You're in a Sunken Place. I can't remember the name of it. He's not a main character in this. It's really Josh Brolin, Emily Blunt, and Benicio del Toro.
Talking about the one who was in The Punisher on Daredevil, or are you talking about?
No.
I'm not the guy who's in there's a lot of them in here.
He needs to get the keys. He's a black guy dating a white family, and they're gonna take his brain. His name's Daniel Kaluuya.
Reggie's character.
Yeah, Daniel Kaluuya. Yeah, he's cool. I can't remember the name of it. Oh, it's called Get Out. Yes.
Oh, Get Out. That's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to say a movie that you and me can't stomach, but everyone else can.
He's also in Black Panther. He's phenomenal in Black Panther. I didn't enjoy Get Out simply because it was dark. And again, we're going back to I have a hard time stomaching dark films. These are two films I can't do it either.
We're the babies in this.
Yeah, I'm a little sensitive boy.
we make your better half watch it and then tell us the reviews, and that's how we know what's going on.
100%. Yeah. So Sicario is an exception to that, and so is Prisoner. So Sicario is talking about the Mexican drug cartels, basically like the CIA is like they're doing some really shady stuff and dragging Emily Blunt along, trying to get back at basically some of the terrible things the cartel's doing, trying to redo it's gonna sound terrible. They're trying to get power to shift to their benefit in the cartels, basically. So it's a pretty heavy film because they dive pretty deep into some of the terrible things the cartels in the film are doing, where they're decapitating people and dropping children in acid, and It's pretty messed up. Sicario itself means hitman, so it revolves around a hitman and assassin. But like the film is beautiful. Like the night shots, there's scenes where they are doing stuff with like nighttime mode on the camera, and then like everyone's got their night vision goggles, and it's at dusk. I don't know, dude. It's one of the most beautiful grounded films I've ever seen, but it is pretty dark, pretty hard to watch. Really well done.
and the budget isn't big. That's one of those movies where the budget didn't need to be big for it to be a great movie.
Yeah, and this is probably my favorite film that he does, where a lot of the cues you get in storytelling are purely visual. Like there's a meeting that a bunch of these like big military executives are having, and all of them are wearing like uniforms or suits or whatever. And Emily Blunt notices that everyone's dressed like that except for Josh Brolin's character. He's wearing like a t-shirt and shorts, or no, he's wearing a t-shirt and like cut off pants. You know, the old like zippy pants from the 90s. Did you ever have a pair of those where you can unzip them at the knee?
Oh yeah. Those are my favorite. Yeah. Pants or shorts.
Yeah. He's wearing a pair of those and flip flops. And so it's like, what is this guy doing at this meeting? So there's a bunch of visual, like you learn things visually. They don't spell it out for you throughout the film. And that's cool. They do it a lot throughout that film. And then kind of in that same note, Prisoners, I would actually argue, is even darker. But I don't know. It's about a guy whose daughter is kidnapped. Hugh Jackman's daughter is kidnapped. And Jake Gyllenhaal is Detective Loki, who's trying to find her. It's a messed up film, but it's really good. Like, I can stomach, I'm a really sensitive boy and I can stomach it. And it's interesting. It's not a film that, like, I watch and I'm like, wow, it was so pretty. Like all his other films. I don't think it's that beautiful of a film. Like, it looks fine, but it is definitely like his most plot driven and story driven and like mystery driven film, I would say, is this one. He plays that really well. Like, there's a mystery of where did the girl go? Who got her? What's even going on? And you have to try and put the pieces together with the detective. It's rough to watch. It's hard to watch because Jake Gyllenhaal is like not sleeping at the time, and he's trying to find this girl, and Hugh Jackman is like becoming a drunk because of it, and he's going crazy, and it's a good film. The acting in it is superb. I'm gushing a little bit. I apologize.
No, you should, because it's a good cast too. I mean, people don't realize how great Gyllenhaal is. You haven't been a fan of him for a while, but
oh yeah. I'm a big fan of his. So Sicario, just to put it in perspective, has a 7.6 on IMDb. And then Prisoners
8.1.
8.1.
Yeah. He doesn't have that. Like, his movies are really highly rated.
Yeah. Anything above a 7 is pretty good. Anything above an 8 is, like, phenomenal. Like, you're talking top 100 IMDb films of all time. Because I think... what is The Dark Knight rated? I'm trying to think. You're probably going to hear my keys while I'm typing, but The Dark Knight. Nope, that's a TV series. My apologies to everyone. It's
technical difficulties. Come on. Aren't you a professional? Don't you have over 500 followers on YouTube now?
I've seen over 100 films.
Good for you for watching films.
What in the world? All right, let me look it up on Google. I will put it in on the line. I was really hoping, Johnny, that you would be like, oh, I've got it. It's got a 9 out of 10, Dark Knight, just to put it in reference. I got
distracted looking at
No, you're good. So just
pictures of myself.
Think Dark Knight is a top 5 film on IMDb, and it's a 9 out of 10. So this is an 8.1, so it's tickling its feet. Most of his films.
Jasifer, what do you think is going to be his in the next year? Do you think Dune's gonna take him all over?
I think it already has. What's
8.2 right now? I mean, but I don't know if that how quickly it changes, but it's 8.2.
It's definitely gonna be the film that makes him the most money, and I think it's probably gonna be the highest rated film as well. We'll see what Cleopatra does, but
yeah, I guess you're right. I think that is the highest one, because everything else is Prisoners is 8.1, so.
Yeah, I mean, you're talking, that's a top 50 film of all time. Like, and you don't realize how big of a deal that is. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, even 8 out of 10 is, you know, it's amazing how critics are.
Yeah. Another director who's kind of like that is Christopher Nolan, where he has a bunch of films that are up there. But
he also doesn't do a lot. Like, it's not like they take everything that shows. Like, they rather have quality over quantity.
It's true.
Which is the way to go. That's why we idolize him, because they take their time, they get it right.
Yeah, he's quickly becoming the most popular director. I mean, the fact that he won the spot for Dune and Cleopatra just shows that he's turning into one of these other directors that I think is going to start to be like Steven Spielberg or Christopher Nolan, I think so, where now, like, his name, his brand, like, you go to see a film just because he's the director.
I think if Dune 2, because sometimes, you know, in these trilogies, I don't know if it's going to be a trilogy or not, Dune, but the sequel is where it will make or break it, right? A lot of the greatest trilogies of all time, the sequel's always been the better movie.
That's true.
So, I mean, if Dune 2, that comes out in 17 years, if that's amazing, then I'll believe you.
It'll be
the rare Nolan where they go, Christopher Nolan, Batman.
Yeah, I agree with you there. In terms of his other films, Dune, the original one, we had a whole podcast about it. If you haven't watched that other podcast, go back and watch it right meow. Did I say watched?
Yeah.
Use your ears, your ear eyes.
Your ear eyes, your EIO head.
Yeah, I know. Quickly ranking his films, I'll just do it because I know you haven't seen all of them, Johnny. But I would say out of his films, Dune is number one for me. Followed by Prisoners, followed by Sicario, followed by Arrival.
Ooh. See, I'd go Blade Runner, Dune, Sicario, and then Arrival.
Okay. And then Prisoners you haven't seen.
No.
So.
But that might be a little too much for me. I have to be in the right state of mind. Like, I could watch Blade Runner and Dune when I'm not, like, mentally there.
Right.
I feel like Prisoners, you have to, like, buckle down.
Yeah, 100%, dude. It's...
I mean, even Sicario, you have to buckle down.
So the first time I watched it, like, I was in a funk for probably 3 days just thinking about it. Like, I couldn't get it out of my head. Now I can rewatch it and not be in that way, but, like, it like, brutalized me the first time because I just had to keep thinking about it. I couldn't get it out of my head. You ever seen a film like that?
No, I've seen TV shows like that, though.
Okay. but I get really into films, so that makes sense.
No, I get more like that on like indie shows, like the indie movies.
Oh yeah, totally.
I'll go on an indie stint, and those ones can mess me up a little bit because it's, you know, it's sometimes just them in a car.
Totally, 100%.
That's more realistic to me because that could happen to me. I can see myself just driving, going on a road trip, and it just throws a wire. You know, you learn something, or you just meet some friend, then you go to an abandoned grocery store and you all hang out and the next day she's gone and dead and you're like, you know, stuff like that,
right?
Where is a little more realistic than me, you know, being a woman getting the highest level of the FBI and then trying to take down an organization.
Right. Yeah, totally. Being recruited by the CIA to take out drug lords.
I mean, that's gonna happen because our podcast will be that popular. It'll open doors everywhere, so they're gonna need us areas. No, that's not. Should we not talk about that yet? Or
no?
Is that a secret? Or
I don't think that is ever really going to happen. We need you to take down the nerd lords. There's a...
Yeah.
There's this group of nerds who's been hacking. There's a threat
at Comic-Con, and you're the only ones that have access to all the people. See?
There'll be a bunch of geek hackers that, like, it'll be like Point Break, but for geeks, and we have to infiltrate the geeks.
We know all the DC passwords.
Yeah, exactly.
There was real quick, because we love talking about DC... I was just watching Teen Titans Go because it has the funniest one-liners in the world.
Yeah.
And the Robin on that one is Dick Grayson, right?
Yeah.
And he's pulling up to the Batcave. And then to get in, they're like, who is Batman's favorite Robin? He's like, me. And they go, nope, Jason Todd. And he couldn't get in. And that made me laugh. That made me laugh out loud.
I love how intense the Teen Titans Dick Grayson is. He's the most intense of all the...
It just works. It works that they know how to make fun of themselves, and that's what I appreciate about them.
Yeah, like the where there's like the toon version of him versus the cartoon version. You know what I mean? There's toon versus cartoon. Yeah, yeah.
There's like four versions, and like the cool guy, and then like the Teen Titans, the Young Justice one, who's like, whoa, Nightwing, and you're like, whoa.
Yeah, and they all like are competing against one another on who's the coolest.
It's just funny. So back to where we're going. If Denis wants to make a movie about us, we'll allow it? Or do you want Nolan?
Ooh. Yeah, that's the question. I feel like Nolan is kind of like... I don't want to say he's peaked, because it's not that. But I feel like just with Tenet not doing as well as it could have, you know, and I feel like his projects aren't really the same as they were between Inception and Interstellar and all that stuff. I feel like he's kind of... I don't think he's pushing as much as he could. You know what I mean? Like, I think he's kind of slowing down a little bit out of choice, which is totally fine. Because you just haven't seen him as much lately. Like, he's picking the projects he wants to do. I think Denis, at this point, has a little bit more of a drive. So I think you're going to see him.
Up-and-comer.
I think he's the up and comer is what I'm trying to say. Yeah.
We don't want the guy that's on the mountaintop. We want the one that's climbing it.
And I'd be fine with either, you know?
Dude, honestly, at the end of the day, whoever wants to direct us, direct us.
Yeah, give me anyone.
Really. I guess I should have spun it correctly. Who is gonna direct the Crystal Blade when it's out?
Oh, that is a good question. So that's my book I've been writing. There.
Crystal Blade is a book that our very own Master of Death himself, Jay, is releasing next year. Releasing next year. So obviously we're gonna sell it to Netflix. By we, I mean him. But I get a starring role. It's in our contract. He signed it.
Yeah, it's true.
Or Disney Plus or Johnny, HBO, whoever wants to buy the rights.
Johnny will be man who spills coffee on himself in background.
Honestly, though, I'll take it.
I spilled coffee on myself 500 times.
And it got cut.
The director just made me do it over and over again, insisting the coffee was boiling.
It was Jay in a wig.
It'll be Denis. He's like, I saw your podcast about my movies. Yeah,
I heard you do that French impression of me. That was Jay, not me. No.
Guess what, coffee boy? If I could pick between the two, who would I want to direct my book? Movie? I mean,
well, who?
My book movie is what I said.
Yeah. Well, because it is like the closest, it's closer to Dune than it is to Tenet, right? Or Inception, your book is.
What about Interstellar, you know? I do take some Interstellar from it. Johnny, you shouldn't have asked me this out of the blue, man.
I just like that we called it back to what's meaningful.
Right. I think gut instinct, which one would I take? Probably Christopher Nolan.
Until you see Dune 2 come out.
We'll see. I don't know. I think Nolan would handle better like some of the jokes and levity, whereas Denis would handle the intensity a little bit better. But I think I'd rather have Nolan. But I don't. Here's the thing. Even if my book was massive, they wouldn't hire either of these directors to do it.
Whatever, dude. I know
they would not. They would not. No, they'd go get.
I know who you would be on the phone peeing your pants for. Taika Waititi.
He wouldn't do it either. No, it'd be like.
But I'm just saying, if we want to go off comedy and brevity and making a.
Yeah, who directed Green Lantern? I want that guy.
He'll turn it around. He'll make his career come back.
There you go. No, I want a David Lynch, actually.
But a 4-hour version cut into two.
Yes, please.
I don't know, man. Nowadays, like, your book can be made into like a 4-part miniseries. It's just different. It's the world is a lot easier now. We have something that I'm dying to watch. What's it called? The Time, your Time show?
On the Wheel Amazon. Of Time.
Yeah, Wheel of Time. Like, that seems that is right up my alley. And I can finally listen to the book after I watch the show. So I'm excited for that. But like, you know what I mean? Like a streaming site could pick it up, make it into a miniseries. Who knows?
Right. I met the author for The Wheel of Time at FanX.
Yeah, he did not ignore you. He took all of the press. He has a signed picture of us, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does.
That's on his fridge.
I hope it's on his fridge. Yeah, I feel it.
It is. Yeah. It is. Or on his desk.
There you go. Yeah, framed on his desk.
There's framed copies of us easily in about over 5 desks in the U.S. Over could be a million. It could be over. It's over 5. It could be 6. It could be a million. It's over 5.
It might be there. I said he might. Shaq might be there. Where's that from? It's Andy on Parks and Rec. He's telling people Shaq might be at a party.
Who?
Shaq might be at a party. And they're like, Shaq's not going to be there. He might. You don't know.
Shaq might be there. Oh, I knew that was off one of the 5 shows we only watch.
Yeah, no. But I think that pretty much concludes my Denis love affair that I just got through. Even though I picked Nolan at the end, I don't know how that happens on a cast that's dedicated to Denis.
But we didn't talk about Nolan movies. We talked about how awesome Dune was, how awesome Blade Runner is. I may not love the movie, but director-wise, aesthetic-wise, it's a beautiful. All those movies are beautiful.
Right. He's using source material, so it's not like he wrote it. He's just creating the vision that's in the book, like you said.
Which is, I think, could be even harder sometimes for him, right?
Oh, yeah. 100%.
I mean, here's a screenplay. Figure it out.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
Just don't do the 80s version of it. That was his one note he had. Don't make it like the 82 version.
Dude, knowing me, my book would be, they'd be like, oh, we want so-and-so to direct your film, and I'd hate that person. Like, I'd hate the work they'd done. I'd be like, oh, how much are you paying me again? I accept.
It's either this or nobody. Oh, nobody. I'll crowdfund it. You have 5 followers. Oh.
But I don't actually want to say any names because, you know, directing's so hard. I've directed some of our stuff, and it's like, I can't even do a 2-minute goof video. Like, how am I supposed to do a feature length? Yeah.
No, but you're also like me, like to control our artistic views. So it's hard to let someone else in the driver's seat.
Yeah, I guess. For enough money.
They'd have to give you a lot of creative control.
Dude, for enough money, they can, you know, change Ong to Aang. I don't even
care. That's right, dude. We do sell out so quickly.
Yeah. I don't know. That sounds terrible. That's not really true. I shouldn't say all that.
I would sell out in a heartbeat. What are you talking about?
Yeah. All right. Knights, we're going to let you go. Be looking for my feature film a few years from now with Christopher Nolan at the helm.
First the book.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm on the 6th draft right now. We need to have a Christmas Crystal Blade cast, I think, Johnny, where we talk about the book in depth.
I'm excited to get a 3D printer working again just to get that crystal blade in real life.
That's true. Yeah, it looks legit. We have a 3D model that we're going to print once our printer's back up and working.
Yeah, we're excited. A lot to come. Thanks for listening, Knights. And once you have it out, tell us who your favorite directors are. Let us know.
Yeah, who should direct my book?
Yeah, we'll pull it. Ooh, we should do our next bracket. Should be that.
I agree.
Before the book is even released.
People will message us and be like, wait, is this really happening?
Yeah, we will get replies like that. And we're like, yeah, it's really happening.
It's happening.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, we're going to get.
We just put it out in the universe. So it's going to happen.
We're going to get a defamation lawsuit because getting crazy.
I can't wait, Knights.
Can't wait for those lawsuits. All right, Knights, we will see you on the flippity flop.
Flippity flip.